My name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Before you jump into this new podcast episode, I want to ask you a quick question first. Are you ready for more in 2024? More joy, more abundance, more self-love, more health and vitality, and more positive experiences? If this is you knowing you are destined for more and ready to take the bold step towards receiving all you are worthy of, I've created the perfect 8-week shadow work course just for you, starting January the 15th, 2024. This is not your surface level, run-of-the-mill shadow work class. This is an intensive deep dive into the shadow with me supporting, coaching, and guiding you the whole way in a group setting. Best of all, this is priced at only $188, with the option to pay $94 at the time of enrollment and the remaining $94 mid-February. For this amazing price, you will receive 8 shadow work classes based on weekly themes, 8 beautifully designed workbooks for you to work through during the week, 8 group coaching sessions, the support and love of a community setting within the Facebook Shadow Work course group, and live Q&As with me throughout the entire 8 weeks. Every person who participates will also receive a certificate of completion upon finishing this 8-week course, digging in and doing your work. When I say I went deep with this course, I mean I went deep. You will be exploring topics like how to prepare the body and mind for shadow work, how to create your unique shadow work blueprint, comparing core events to current unhelpful patterns, cycles, and habits. You'll learn how to alchemize heavy energy through self-acceptance and love, explore how your shadow affects your relationships, and so much more. For all the nitty-gritty details, look for the link below or visit my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So just my first and last name.com, and look for the coaching and service tab and you will find all the information there. I cannot wait to see you. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this episode of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast. I am really looking forward to my interview today with Josh Deck. He's here to talk to us about gut health. It's perfect timing because this is something that I have been really interested in myself lately and reading all I can about. So I'm really excited to pick his brain. But before we get started, a little bit about Josh. Josh is an ex-paramedic and holistic nutritionalist specializing in gut health. It was the success his clients have had with complex digestive diseases previously thought to be impossible that got him connected to some of the world's most renowned doctors. Since then, he's been recruited to the Priority Health Academy as a medical lecturer, helping educate doctors on the holistic approach to gut health and complex digestive issues. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Thank you so much for having me, Kelly.
What kind of sparked your interest in gut health and put you on this path to being so passionate about this topic?
It was a bit of a happy accident, I like to say. So I used to be a paramedic. That was my first career. And I ended up leaving it. Paramedics was a very reactive healthcare staff, wasn't very proactive. And the challenge that I found there was that the people I'd pick up week after week for the same issues, I'd take them to the hospital and they would get new medications or more of the same dose of medication or the same drug rather. And it was just this repetitive people being sick. So it wasn't healthcare. I was working in sick care, which I didn't like. And so I ended up leaving to a more proactive style. I went into personal training, something I was already familiar with. And this woman came to see me early in my career, my early 20s, named Lynn. She was 57 years old at the time. She was taking 17 pills and insulin with breakfast, 9 more pills and insulin with bedtime, had a high blood pressure, slept with a CPAP machine. She was on the disability list at work, like all these things just going wrong, and a very steady decline in her health. 57 years old when we started together. By age 59, she entered into her first powerlifting competition. I had the pleasure of coaching her through that, and she broke a world record in the raw powerlifting division. And so this tiny, 59-year-old woman started breaking records all the way through till 61, 62 years old. And it was incredible. I mean, 5 foot nothing at 160 pounds, and she's pulling 315 pounds off the floor. And it was just so amazing to see that the body can heal itself when we focused on nutrition and exercise. And so I started to get interested more in the holistic side of things. And so every time I'd see somebody coming in with skin issues, we work on their health and their nutrition. Somebody come with anxiety, depression, we work on their health, nutrition. Their gut always got better. And so everything I started doing, there was always this gut connection somewhere in the mix, always gut health. And so I started getting into gut health, and I was more interested in gut health. And so, people will come to see me for fitness stuff. I look at their gut first, be it hormones like PCOS or dealing with, like I said, depression, anxiety, skin issues, psoriasis, acne, asthma, all these things. We came back to the gut. And so I started seeing people with IBS. I went back to school, became a nutritionist. And as things started to develop, I saw more severe and more severe gut cases. So I decided I'll try it. I'll take on. I said, I can't promise, but I'll try. And I kind of just figured this stuff out that the gut is the center of everything. And my passion exploded. We started, helping people reverse gut disease. Like you said, it was previously thought impossible, where Western medicine goes, well, it's autoimmune. There's nothing we can do. Take these drugs. Hopefully one day we don't have to cut your colon out and, hope for the best. And these people are getting their lives back, and sometimes as little as a few weeks. It's amazing.
That is truly amazing. And I guess, really, when you think about it, it's no surprise that this is somewhat of a epidemic, I guess you could say, with gut health, with a lot of the foods that are available to us, so much processed stuff these days, and so many people are eating these foods that probably aren't the best for gut health because it's what's readily available to us and it's quick, convenient, easy, all these things. So it makes sense that we're seeing so many more people having these issues, but what an amazing testament. So, can you talk to us a little bit about the connection between gut health and mental health, which I think is something that people don't necessarily realize are connected?
Yeah, I mean, our gut's connected to everything, right? If you want to talk about the gut health, mental health connection, I think an important piece is to understand the gravity our guts contain in our body. I often say that our gut bacteria are more important than our very DNA. And the reason I say that is because our gut bacteria, those microbes outnumber your body's own cells 10 to 1. In fact, we even look at genetics. You have 23,000 genes that make up you as a human being, but you have 3 million different genes in your gut bacteria. And so they are much more vast than our very own cells. Like our body is just microbes and viruses and fungi and all kinds of stuff interacting together. And so when we understand how much weight that pulls, we can understand how it's connected to everything. I mean, our guts produce up to 90% of our neurotransmitters. So even like serotonin, dopamine, these things we need in our bodies to take care of our brains, to focus, to have stable moods and stable emotions. It's all connected there. Looking at our hormones, for example, they are connected through our gut. Even inactive to active levels of thyroid are connected. So up to 40% of our thyroid is converted from inactive to active between your gut and your liver. And so every hormone, every ounce of nutrition, every piece of chemical that goes to your brain It has to do with your gut. And even looking in utero, right, when babies are being developed in utero, that same gut tissue is the same tissue that's used to make the brain. And so they're actually developed from the same place. Your nervous system in your gut is so complex. It's actually called the enteric nervous system. So it's its own brain altogether. It functions very much like a brain. And so I would venture to say, and in Western medicine, in any kind of medicine ever, saying 100% of anything is damn near impossible. But there would be many, many functional medicine specialists who would be in agreement to say, upwards of 100% of people dealing with mental health issues do have some kind of connected gut issue.
Wow. 100%.
It's a staggering number. Like 20% would be significant. 100% is unheard of. And that would be not an inaccurate statement entirely.
That is really mind-blowing when you think about it. So what are some of the signs and symptoms someone may have, other than obviously that would include anxiety, depression, these types of things when we're talking about mental health? Mm-hmm. But what other symptoms would someone maybe notice if their gut is out of balance?
Yeah, I mean, we can see what we call symptomatic or asymptomatic gut issues. And I say that meaning just towards your gut. So symptomatic means you might have bloat. Maybe you burp frequently. You've got acid reflux. If there's, you know, changes in bowel movements, if you're not having, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 fully formed, healthy, normal bowel movements a day, you have a dysfunction of some kind. If they're loose, if you're going every other day, every third day, that's a problem. And most, you know, many people are. If we start looking at just the gut issues, if you eat food and feel bloated or feel lethargic, you don't feel super great, maybe you're a bit irritable, those are all symptoms. There's a problem in your gut. And that goes very, very deep, much more beyond just the foods we're eating. You know, that has to do with also leaky gut. There's only one cell thick between your small intestine and the superhighway, being your bloodstream, your lymphatic system, and 2 cells in your large intestine before things pass over and circulate everywhere around your body, including your brain, your joints, your skin, you're everywhere. And so if we have these imbalances and your body is not functioning properly, or you have leaks in the gut, all kinds of stuff, it causes all these other issues. And so you may not have gut issues per se, like bloat, constipation, diarrhea, acid reflux, but you might, if you have any kind of skin issue, if your hair is dry and brittle, if you have hormonal issues, if you have anxiety, if you have mental health issues, insomnia, irritability, arthritis is very common, some joint pain, all of these things, acne, they all tie back to the gut, right? Especially the skin. Your skin is an outward reflection of your inward health. And if we have issues on the inside, oftentimes it does come through the skin as well.
Yeah. And that's really kind of what put me on the path of investigating more about gut health, is dealing with hormonal imbalance. I have gone into early menopause, my hormones are all over the place. And I started really looking at like things that could balance hormones, things that could support me, and gut health just kept showing up. And I was like, I have to look at this connection between my hormones and how imbalanced that is and this gut health issue. And that's when I started really learning about these connections between hormone production and gut health, really realizing how impactful this is. Let me ask, if somebody is noticing some of the symptoms we've talked about, or they know that there's something that is just amiss, what are some things that they can do to begin to improve their gut health?
So the first thing we have to recognize is what's destroying our gut, right? There's so much of it. It is a progressive issue. Even if people don't have a diagnosis of irritable bowel or a diagnosis of something like what I specialize in, being Crohn's and colitis, you don't need a diagnosis to know that there's a problem. And so many of us wait for a diagnosis. That's reactive. We have to be proactive. And so being proactive is understanding that gut disease is more of a spectrum, that what is very minor right now could be very severe later. Like if you go out walking in a brand new pair of shoes and you're not wearing socks, right, the heel starts to get a little irritable. That's fine. You can take the shoes off or put socks on and you'll recover. But if you keep going, you'll eventually get blistered. It'll pop, it'll bleed. And you could, you know, wear down to the bloody bone if you saw it so fit. And so we have to understand that is a progression, that prevention is key. And so for those who are on the prevention train and want to understand that, okay, maybe there are some root issues here that we need to look at, we can look at a lot of things that can be affecting our guts, like antibiotic use on a regular basis. It's up 43% since the year 2000, which is astronomical. And antibiotics aren't selective. They kill all bacteria, including the good bacteria. We have to look at food and nutrition, understanding that, you know, our nutrients are so void in our soil that, you know, there are some studies suggesting you have to eat 8 oranges today to get the same nutrition that your great grandmother would have gotten in 1 orange. Right. And so looking at diets and food and lifestyle, we have to understand where our food comes from. Pesticide usage is up between 2 and 4 times in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And we can argue that consumption has gone up by 19 times. Not only the amount of use of it used, but also the food that we're getting now in grains. There's glyphosate in everything, which chelates and binds minerals out of the body. Looking at C-section rates and breastfeeding, that actually impacts your gut health. So everything in our lives impact our gut. So just building an awareness, number one, around what starts breaking down our guts, and then we can become proactive. And so first things first, I recommend all people always avoid gluten. Gluten is horrific for everyone always. Even if you say, no, it doesn't bother me, it does. It's whether or not you're causing active notable symptoms, right? That you can actually feel. Some people get brain fog. Some people get irritability. Some people get joint pain. Some people get gut issues. But gluten is one of the number one leading causes of gut issues and one of the strongest links we have in the food space to things like autoimmune disease or digestive diseases. So gluten is number one. Number two is going to be our grains, because grains are so heavily covered in glyphosate and other things, these horrible pesticides directly linked to things like leukemia and other cancers. Like I said, mineral and nutrient deficiencies. And not only do they spray these crops in glyphosate and these grains, but when they dry, they respray them as well. And so all fast foods, Panera Bread, In-N-Out Burger, McDonald's, all these places are covered in pesticides. Some up to 100% of their foods have glyphosate in them. And so knowing that your food, when it comes from major manufacturers, has nothing to do with health, even if they say it's non-GMO, like wheat is not a GMO crop. And so to say non-GMO is kind of, you know, arbitrary anyway, because they don't GMO the wheat anyways. There's just a lot of issues. So number one, knowing your sources. Number two, knowing the things in our lives that are affecting our gut bacteria, the foods we eat, the antibiotics we take, the medications we use. And number three, just learning to make better choices, right? If we can make a better choice and move away from all these other things, we can learn how to sit and breathe and chew our food and do really basic actions that allow us to get to this rest and digest mode, right? Because we're so much in fight or flight. Imagine shuttling 5 kids to soccer and dashboard dining, and you're cramming food in and yelling at the kids at the same time. You're not in rest digest, you're in the opposite. And if you're not in rest digest, you are not breaking down, digesting, and absorbing what little nutrients are left in the food we're eating, especially if it's like a fast food or something else. You're not getting it in any way. Mm-hmm. And there's more inflammation and more gut destruction. And so we're harming our own, our body's own wellness, our futures, our risk of disease. I mean, 93% of the leading causes of death are connected to your gut. And so everything we do against our gut is contributing to the risk of disease as well.
Well, you kind of brought up fight or flight. How does trauma affect our gut?
So it's really interesting because trauma gets very complex. And obviously, you know, dealing with anxiety disorders to the spectrum of PTSD, even CPTSD. It's a very big spectrum. And so on that spectrum, depending on the day, depending on the triggers, all these different things, you're going to have different stress responses. But again, it's a spectrum. It's the same knob. It's just how much we turn it up or turn it down. Mm-hmm. And so we know our stress hormones are going to be elevated, which inflames the gut, which causes a decrease of even basics like peristalsis. That's that movement of food through your digestive system. Your stomach acid is going to be low. Your digestive enzyme production is going to be poor. And so every aspect of your digestive health you need is going to be problematic. And so then on top of that, and I'm not saying this, I'm going to bridge this into some solutions for you guys. I'm not just, you know, throwing all the scary stuff at you to induce more anxiety. But the reality is, when we don't have high, you know, appropriate levels or higher levels of stomach acid, when we don't have proper digestion, that leaves room for other bacteria to grow that shouldn't be there. We end up with conditions and digestive disorders due to bacterial imbalances or bacterial dysregulation. When that bacteria is dysregulated, it creates what we call endotoxins, which are toxic byproducts of bacteria, right? Because Kelly, you and I eat, you and I also poop. Your bacteria eats and it poops. And so when we have bad bacteria imbalanced or overgrown, it poops these endotoxins and they get into your gut and your bloodstream and other things, contributing further to anxiety, contributing to imbalances of neurotransmitter, that dopamine serotonin production, contributing to a lack of vitamins and minerals, which can lead to mental health disorders. And so it is very complicated what, you know, stress or ongoing trauma can do to the body and can do to the gut and can do to our bacteria, our nutrients, our brain health, our everything. Creates insomnia. And so these issues we start to see can develop into allergies, food sensitivities, and again, autoimmune disorders down the road. Mm-hmm. And so getting a hold of it now, obviously managing trauma for what it is, that's one thing. But PTSD, CPTSD can be very, again, complex, where going to a counseling session may not be the answer. And so the question is really, what can we do to bridge this gap until we can learn to deal with it? Number one, of course, breathing, right? Just sitting down, taking 5 or 10 breaths before you eat will at least turn the knob back toward rest and digest more so than being on the go. Number two, chewing your food, 20, 30 chews before you swallow to make it easier for your already compromised gut. It's kind of like putting crutches on a broken ankle, right? You can walk on it, but it's going to suck. But if you get some crutches, at least, you know, it's better and you can ambulate a bit. Second to that, some people can do really well with supplementing stomach acid. If their guts are healthy and can handle the acid, that's like we call betaine HCl or hydrochloric acid. You can buy on the counter and just take some of those with food or digestive enzymes. And those can supplement the lack, right? Because again, if you're in fight or flight, you're not producing stomach acid, you're going to be underproducing digestive enzymes, and your gut's not going to be moving food through properly. So chewing to take the mechanical stress off the gut, providing your body with the things it's lacking, stomach acid and digestive enzymes, can be a huge contributor to getting people to be able to digest better who are chronically stressed. And that can lead to, over time, can actually help reduce the symptoms of stress and lead to an increased probability of recovery.
Fascinating. So it's really interesting that you're kind of like talking about these nervous system regulation techniques. And that's really, with the type of trauma work that I do with the clients I see, it's considered a forward-facing way of supporting people through trauma that's focused heavily, heavily on nervous system regulation. And I feel the same way, like often just going to traditional talk therapy and verbally processing these traumatic things over and over and over again in a body that's not regulated is just re-traumatizing, and people don't always see great results from that because the body is responding just as if it's being re-traumatized over and over again. So I love that connection being made between, you know, take a moment before you eat, regulate the nervous system, relax the muscles of the body, because anxiety cannot live in a body that's relaxed. Sometimes it really is just that simple of tuning into the body, noticing where we're holding, and consciously using breath to release. So I love that connection of bringing that intentionality even more into our lives consciously choosing before each meal, like, I'm going to take a few moments here and get in the right mindset and get my body in the right place to support me through this process. Mm-hmm. I love that. So something that I found fascinating when I was beginning, and I'm not super obviously educated on this at all. I've just read a few books and I've just been diving in. But one thing that I found really interesting are how many things that affect our gut health that have nothing to do with eating. So could you share a couple of those things or some of these things that affect our gut health that don't have anything to do with eating? Because I know I was really surprised, and I think other people may be surprised to hear some of these things as well.
Yeah. So things that affect our gut health that don't have to do with eating, that's going to be, like we talked about, a lot of just general lifestyle and stress and how we manage that. But what's really interesting, let's go all the way back to birth. We talked briefly about, you know, I mentioned something about birth and C-section. And so if we want to set people up, you know, set babies and children up for a better lifestyle, we'll start there and maybe work our way up the food chain here. We have to understand that our gut bacteria doesn't come from nowhere. It comes from our mother in utero. And so what bacteria she has, we are then given. And she got it from her mom and her mom and her mom. And before that, all the way back to the Stone Age, if your parents and your ancestors, you know, avoided being eaten by dinosaurs, you would have gotten this gut bacteria from them. And so it's evolved over time and it's changed. But we get that bacteria from mom in utero, and then the baby gets that coming through. So if the babies are born vaginally versus C-section, that's a very different bacterial byproduct. So as you're coming through the birth canal, you're actually covered head to toe in all these healthy bacteria that are in the birth canal. And so the baby gets that all over their skin that can then colonize. It's kind of like a meadow, like a brand new meadow just being seeded with grass. If you come in and torch it with fire, it's never going to grow again. It'll just be done forever. But that's the same thing we see with antibiotics in babies growing. They're just getting this brand new seeding of bacteria. And so we're throwing all kinds of junk in. We're throwing in things like formula versus breast milk. We're throwing in antibiotics and early medications. Sometimes they're absolutely necessary. They're life-saving. And that's, we just have to understand what it's doing and we can work back from there. But these things can destroy that meadow. But if a baby's born vaginally, there's a much higher prevalence of having good bacteria. The baby's also going to be breastfed. The first 3 days of breastfeeding, there's colostrum, and that lays this big, thick turf of all kinds of benefits and microbes and all kinds of stuff into the gut. And then breastfeeding for upwards of a year, even 2 years after the fact, continues to lay that groundwork. We know that babies, for example, who are strictly formula fed versus breastfed are twice as likely to die from SIDS or sudden infant death syndrome, which is a staggering statistic. Now, there are some women who cannot breastfeed just because there's genetic issues, there's medical issues, there's all kinds, and you have to do what you have to do. But if you can find a donor, it's much better off, mm-hmm. right? And that's just what we're saying is take the better of the options we do have.
Right.
But some of the issues causing gut issues now, in 1990, the C-section rate was just 7%. It is expected to be 29% by 2030. Just 43% of newborns initiate breastfeeding in the first hour. Only 41% are breastfed under 6 months exclusively. Most are, that other 59% are subsidized with formula. Again, either due to choice or due to necessity, but that's just the numbers we have. We also know babies are born. The Red Cross did a study in 2004, and they found 10 freshly cut umbilical cords. They found an average of 287 different chemicals, pesticides, pollutants, stuff from burning garbage and gasoline, petroleum products, rocket fuel, 180 chemicals known to cause cancer, 217 toxic to the brain and nervous system, 208 known to cause birth defects. And so we're seeing these numbers at a staggering level, and that's right from birth. And so right away, we're already set with a bad hand. But what can we do after that, right? Eating good whole foods, right? Eat, you know, clean nutrition, obviously eating a variety of different foods. But then looking at adulthood, we know that bacteria, bad bacteria, especially inflammatory bacteria, love sugar. They love alcohol. They love inflammation. So inflamed environments. But the average American consumes over 100 pounds of sugar every single year, which is like a shocking number. Looking at fast food spend, $730 billion a year. Alcohol, average man consumes 15 liters of alcohol, which doesn't seem like much, but when you spread out who's an alcoholic versus who consumes none, all of that, right? Smoking, medication use is trillions of dollars a year. And so these are the things that are damaging our gut. One, right from birth. Two, the chemicals in our food, our water, the things we're doing. Three, high stress lifestyles. I mean, ideally, in a perfect world, we'd all be living in mud huts and hippies and, you know, singing Kumbaya every day, but that's not the reality. Three, we'd be looking for natural alternative medicines and solutions to our health problems rather than taking things like ibuprofen every time we have a joint pain or every time we have a headache, because that destroys our gut. Like medications are a huge destroyer as well. And so a lot of it is just a lack of education. People just don't have this information because they're not given it, and we need to find it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of my two cents on things outside of food that are causing problems today.
So important. So that is really, really eye-opening. And I think it's going to be eye-opening for a lot of my listeners as well. Thank you so much for sharing so much of your wisdom and insight and knowledge with us. This has been really, really educational. But before we go, I would love for you to share with my listeners kind of where they can go to learn more about this, to learn more about you and your work and your message.
Yeah, the best place is actually through my podcast. It's called Reversible, the Ultimate Gut Health Podcast. And that's spelled Reversible, the Ultimate Gut Health Podcast. And we meet with some of the world's, like I mentioned earlier, some of the world's most famous doctors and experts, Stephen Gundry, William Lee. We had Lisa Bilyeu from Impact Theory come on. We've just had some really amazing, amazing guests and more to come. And what we do is we talk about how our gut affects our world and the things in our world affecting our gut. and how we can work to heal and better ourselves. Everything from weight loss to joint pain to food. We talked about homesteading and farming and all kinds of different things that we can do for ourselves, because your gut really is the center of everything. Every single health condition can come back to the gut. 93% of the leading causes of death are related to your gut. And we can prevent that 93% by just taking care of ourselves and getting educated. And that's what we aim to do on Reversible.
Obviously, we can only cover so much information in these short little like bursts of time here. But as you mentioned, it's a very complex issue and discussion. So that's fabulous that there's a place for everyone to go and kind of get more information, more detailed information at their own pace, at their own rate. So again, thank you so much for being here. I know this is going to help so many people.
I'm looking forward to helping as many as we possibly can. Thanks so much for having me, Kelly.